part three of the mock trade deadline coming up here. Go back and listen to parts one and two if you haven't had a chance to yet. They've been up for a while. We had to postpone a little bit due to a natural disaster in Seattle. KP, are you all right up there now?
I have successfully dug out of these 6 inches of snow and now have power at my house, which was a requirement to conclude this podcast.
Pistons here, amateur.
before we get started, I would be remiss in not noting that we are sponsored today by Sherry's Berries, a first-time sponsor. You can get freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99, or double the berries for $10 more using my code CAPSPACE. And Blue Apron, get your first three meals free with Blue Apron at blueapron.com/CAPSPACE. So when we last departed, we had just agreed on a trade to send PJ Tucker and Leandro Barbosa to Houston for Corey Brewer and a first rounder. So if anyone wants to take up the mantle here and propose something, be my guest.
Timberwolves here. I'd like to bring up a fresh name we haven't discussed yet. What is the market for Ricky Rubio?
Dan, you can't do your best jokes right away. You're going we have to like save them for the middle of the podcast, like get people listening. Like now everyone was tuned in waiting for the Ricky Rubio joke and now they're just going to stop listening.
Oh, don't worry. It's coming back.
I wish you had warned me before because I have no other jokes and just everybody just sign off now. There's nothing else coming.
This is a smaller one, but I just wanted to gauge interest in Brandon Wright. He does have one more year at about $6 million, but he's certainly a capable backup when he's on the floor. And I just wanted to see if anybody was interested in him. I would prefer not for nothing, but just to see if there was an interest in him at all.
I don't think my team's really, as the East sellers, are that interested in him. It don't really have, if you want to just dump him, the Nets would be interested. We could just use any kind of a backup center who could play. My new awesome Knicks roster has a billion centers on it, so we're good. Orlando, way too many centers. Philly doesn't need any. Miami doesn't want to take on any salary, and Chicago has plenty of centers too.
I mean, if the Hortons hadn't made the move for Miles Plumlee last week, he might have made sense for us, but with that, we are out of the betting. I don't see anyone else that really makes sense.
Yeah, Nuggets with Kenneth Faried as the backup center now have a little bit of interest, but just nothing that looks like a clear fit.
Yeah, because you guys, you're right around the cap, right? So you can't do it using space. We'd have to find matching salary.
Right.
You're not down to trade Darrell Arthur in that, are you? Because we would be interested in him again.
No, we still want to hang on to him for insurance if Paul Millsap walks.
Okay.
Something we could revisit in the offseason.
Absolutely, and that's probably what we as Memphis are going to do, because we're happy to have him for the rest of this year, and somebody's going to need a center.
Okay. I mean, he's actually been playing these last couple of games. He looks okay, so maybe they can just...
Right.
Better than Jarrell Martin better than whoever else they were using at backup center, whose name escapes me at the moment.
And then the other Memphis trade that we're interested in, while we're happy to keep recent Eastern Conference Player of the Week Deion Waiters, we would be open to moving him for a point guard of similar salary. So Waiters makes about $3 million. If that fits somebody's need, especially if that capable point guard was reasonably priced for next year as well. But we don't. It's just an issue of finding the right fit.
Yeah. Again, none of my teams, as the East kind of rebuilding teams, are interested in Waiters.
Mavericks here.
Oh,
we do something around JJ Barea for Waiters?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for your interest.
But Barea has two more years at like $4 million a year, I think. So I would assume that's why.
Well, he's a point guard.
If you started talking about Seth Curry, we could have a little bit of a conversation. Former Memphis Grizzly Seth Curry. But
no. You missed your chance on that one.
All right, I've got a few guys here that I just want to throw out and see whether anyone wants them, because they're really just not doing a ton for us at this point. Sorry, I have to. Here we go. I've got Luke Babbitt and Josh McRoberts on the Heat. Anybody have any interest in those guys?
Pass.
That was Josh Roberts and Luke Babbitt?
Yes.
Timberwolves here.
Yeah.
We might have interest depending on where we are at the salary floor. It's definitely not a move we would make until the moment before the trade deadline. We wouldn't mind Rob McRoberts if he's willing to turn down his player option now to come to Minnesota and Miami.
With his health issues, he would never do that, though. We believe me, we have engaged his agent in those talks many a time, and he is not interested in doing that, especially not at this point in time. He is not even playing now with these repeated foot issues.
But if we strike out on anything else, we are going to trade Ricky Rubio, by the way. But if we strike out and some other thing, maybe we would take in Luke Babbitt and just move a little closer to the floor and have a stretch four option. So if you want to leave that on your radar, but we would not want to commit to that until moments before the deadline.
All right, here's another one. As Brooklyn, we think that Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is athletic, has a lot of promise, but in his second year already, we really need guys with a little bit more offensive upside. He's going to get expensive by the time we're really ready to compete, and we're hoping that a team that just needs a defender on the wing, someone who will play hard, get out in transition, athletic guy, would be interested in him, and that maybe we could get back either a pick or we could get back someone who could create a little bit. Is there any interest in Rondae Hollis-Jefferson around the league here? Let's take a quick break before we find out whether the Nets can move Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and what they might get back for him. With this from Sherry's Berries, there's no one like your Valentine. They are a new sponsor just in time for Valentine's Day, and you can treat your Valentine to an unforgettable gift that's as unique as they are. Sherry's Berries sent me some of these strawberries, and they're fantastic. My girlfriend loved when they just showed up on our doorstep unexpectedly about a week ago. These berries are decadent. They're fresh, juicy, sweet, dipped in white milk or dark chocolate. They're topped with chocolate chips, swizzles, chopped nuts, whatever you want. You can surprise your significant other at their office or workplace as well. That's a great way to earn some points for Valentine's Day. And you can trust that your gift is going to be perfectly packaged in a gift box with all the details taken care of. Sherry's Berries will deliver your gift fresh and on time, guaranteed, or your money back. The offer that they're giving to Dunked On listeners, freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more. Go to berries.com and use my code CAPSPACE. Let them know that you came from us, and also to get that deal, of course. With Valentine's Day right around the corner, only one way to get Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. Just visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on that microphone in the top right-hand corner, type in my code CAPSPACE, which of course we talk about all the time on the program. Very easy to remember. That's berries.com. Use my code CAPSPACE for an awesome Valentine's Day gift.
Do you have a guideline in terms of pick range, just to get an idea of calibrating expectations?
Well, it would clearly have to be a first-round pick. Otherwise, okay. We're as like a baseline. But we kind of just be more into a guy who can create a little bit more and kind of trading like for like. If he's a young guy about that same level of experience, you know, we thought that he could be a good fit maybe in Denver when they needed more defense on the wing before they made some of those trades, something along those lines. If there's like a young scorer on some team that might, that's the sort of thing that would interest us.
You know, Blazers here, we can't offer anything particularly in that vein. The one thing I was wondering is if you'd have any interest in taking on one of our salaries and sending back Hollis Jefferson in exchange for our first round pick this year, lottery protected.
I mean, what's one of those salaries? If it's Evan Turner, that's too much. Myers Leonard is someone that we might have a little bit of interest in.
That's who I was thinking of, yeah.
It is ironic, though, that you actually, Blazers, traded us the pick that became Rondae Hollis-Jefferson to get Mason Plumlee. And so your pick, you were talking about your pick unprotected this year?
I think we would have to lottery protected.
Well, I mean, you're not even favored to make the playoffs right now, Blazers. So, I mean, if you wanted
just
to
coming
do
off a thrilling win in Dallas earlier this evening, mere moments ago.
If you wanted to do top, you know, 8 protection or even just, I mean, I think it would just be top 3 protection is what it'd be. So if you get into the top 3 by some miracle in the lottery, otherwise I think it would have to go if we wanted to do that. I mean, taking on Myers Leonard, that is not an attractive salary at all. I mean, he kind of fits into what we want to do a little bit as a center who can shoot, and maybe he could be an upgrade on Justin Hamilton. Probably not, but maybe he could grow into that. And to get that pick, we might be interested in doing doing that.
All right, we're going to think about that a little bit.
Yeah, no, I will commit to that. I will say as the ombudsman, and is having another wing who like can't really shoot that well help that much, like isn't that already kind of Harkless and Aminu anyway?
Well, those guys are more fours for us in our system. And Hollis Jefferson, I mean, you've talked about Nate, to again go off out of character, break character here, the idea of the Blazers getting some guys with upside.
Yeah,
and Hollis Jefferson, I think, would give them that. So
yeah. Anybody else have some interest in Rondé, a team that really needs a defensive prospect on the wing?
The West buyers are all interested, but are kind of asset poor at this point in terms of where he could fit. Like I had thought about him for Houston, but Houston just traded their first round pick in that bigger trade, and so my teams are largely out, even though a lot of them would be very interested, just not the right fit.
Oklahoma City, you think he could be a great fit next to Andre Robertson and Jeremy Grant?
I actually spent about a minute during your prior negotiation thinking about that, but they don't have first round picks, and they don't have those talents that you're really looking for, unless you wanted Cameron Payne. If you wanted Cameron Payne, we'll find another point guard to make it work, and we could add in Rondé, because it would give us leverage against Robertson in terms of a trade, in terms of assigning him as a free agent.
So you're talking about just Cameron Payne straight up for Rondé?
We would be happy to do that, and we don't have much in the way of sweeteners unless you are more in love with Josh Uses.
Played his first NBA minute just a couple of games ago this season. No, I don't think so, because I just don't think Cameron Payne is necessarily that good. Like he's not really a point guard of the future. I think Rondé could be a starter maybe for somebody. Wizards, you guys are kind of out of assets at this point, right?
Yeah, having already traded that first round pick. No, that's not true. We've got an appropriate number of first round picks, but we already shed some salary with Andrew Nicholson, and we feel decent about where our books are going forward. So
can I float a team that isn't my own team? What about Denver and their arsenal of first round picks now that they traded a bunch of their young dudes?
Nuggets are feeling pretty good about where they are on the wing right now. Jamal Murray will get some minutes there. Gary Harris, Gallinari, Wilson Chandler.
Will Barton is still on the team.
Will Barton, yeah. Lakers, to be honest, are mulling a little bit what a Jordan Clarkson for Hollis Jefferson trade would accomplish.
Oh, that's interesting. Just to knock some money off your books for 2017 free agency. I think
that'd
can
be
just
part of it. Yeah. Reorganize a little bit, get a better defender in there. Maybe Clarkson is a little bit more duplicative with D'Angelo Russell. I think we're leaning toward no and just maintaining our status quo. We like our locker room mix. We made our one move already. I don't want to shake things up too much because everybody's sort of feeling good right now despite the losing with just how everybody's interacting, but we are contemplating it.
That might be one to revisit in the summer too, see if you guys are going to draft another guard, then that's actually something that can make sense. Cause I think I would probably do that actually as Brooklyn, to just get Clarkson in. It's just somebody who can create, who will at least be entertaining for our fans over the next couple of years, actually under contract for longer than Hollis Jefferson is at this point, on a reasonable salary that we're not going to be using a ton of cap space anyway. Yeah, that would be something to consider, but probably I think would make a little bit more sense to wait until the off season on that one.
And ultimately, that's kind of how I feel about that Portland deal. Yeah. We'll know where the draft pick is at the end of the year, have a better idea of how valuable those draft picks are in this year's loaded draft. And there's really no urgency to get Hollis Jefferson, and it's not like he's going to be a difference maker over the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah,
I think Lakers are sort of in a similar boat, that I think Clarkson is the more talented player. This might be a good trade for us, but again, just like KP said, don't necessarily feel a need to rush into it.
Wolves, would you be interested in trading Ricky Rubio and a protected first rounder for Rondé, who would in well? No? Okay.
Oh, Rubio's value is sky high. We're not trading a first rounder to get off him.
Well, you'd be getting back Rondé, who can actually like play some defense on the wing for you. You don't really have anyone like that. It was kind of the thought.
I mean, I guess
more of an offensive team, right?
I guess it depends on the what those protections would be. But from the sound of it, I think that protected first rounder would be about worth Hollis Jefferson itself.
What if it's Atlanta's protected first rounder?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably in the right range, but like, I think Rubio is way more valuable than that.
What are you talking about, Atlanta's protected first rounder?
Minnesota's Atlanta's 2018 pick from the Payne trade.
No, that is the opposite.
Atlanta has Minnesota's pick.
Dope. Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Let me make a note of that time.
It was a long day yesterday.
Yeah, no, I bet, man. all right, here, just do like a 5-second silence so I can find that and edit it out. And then if someone else, take as long as you guys want, and then someone else just propose something, because it doesn't look like Rondé is, we're moving him at all.
All right, I'll go after this. All right, Wizards here. Lakers, we have a very modest trade target. We would like to trade Marcus Thornton for Thomas Robinson and are willing to offer cash to kind of even that up, since Robinson is the more productive player at this point, but he's not playing a lot for you. We think he maybe could help our front court, and it doesn't have any long-term impact.
I mean, we're the Lakers, cash doesn't do so much for us, but if it were a second round pick, we'd be open to that.
I feel like that's too much for Thomas Robinson at this point. I mean, we could do the rights to Aaron White, who we drafted a couple of years ago in the second round.
No,
Dan,
I don't think
that. Dan, you calling up your scouting report on Aaron White right now?
I remember him from Iowa. I'm a Big Ten guy. Although I guess maybe in this persona, I'm a North Carolina guy. No, I don't think that's going to be quite enough. We need something more tangible. Like we're the Lakers. We can't be trading a player who might turn out to be something and get embarrassed and trade him for cash. We can't trade him for Aaron White. Like a second round pick would be the concrete value that would make sense.
All right. Well, we tried.
How about just some other guys who are productive players right now who are pending free agents on bad teams?
Pelicans here. Is anybody interested in Tyreke Evans? We have Drew Holiday as the starter. We've got Tim Frazier locked in as the backup. We plan to re-sign Drew Holiday, so we're not necessarily looking for a ton. But we just, you know, if there's good value, we'll trade him. If not, we'll ride out the season and hope for the best. The Pelicans plan.
Yeah, I can't say that any of my East sellers would be interested in Tyreke at this point, because it doesn't do us any good to pick up someone who can be a free agent at the end of the year.
Thunder here, we're wondering, because we have actually cap space that we can burn, and we're looking for somebody who is not under contract for next year. So we would be looking at him as a straight rental, and we could actually save you some money. Would you be interested in something that was basically just salary filler and no future assets for him, but would save you a lot of money?
Like how much money?
Let's say it was Anthony Morrow. So he makes $3.5 million. I think that's about, that would get us pretty close to making the Tyreke deal happen.
Yeah, no, I think we'd rather just hang on to Tyreke and play out the year. Like, what's the worst that could happen? We miss the playoffs and he signs with the Rockets and we get nothing in return. Yeah.
And they've already paid him 2/3 of his salary anyway, so that doesn't really save him that much in terms of like actual real hard cash.
Dan, I just want to let that comment be acknowledged. That was great.
Thank you, KP. I was a little disappointed that nobody else did. Thank you. You know what? Nate's... If you want Thomas Robinson now.
Yes!
That was all it took. I'm kind of fascinated by the idea of Tyreke being the new Evan Turner for the Celtics, but after trading Tyler Zeller in the Taj Gibson trade, it's not really a salary that makes sense in return for Boston.
What about Amir Johnson?
Amir is still a useful really part of our rotation. Yeah. Don't necessarily need him as much with Gibson, but yeah. I don't think that Tyreke for him is a huge upgrade at that point.
Yeah, I guess, like Charlotte, he would have been a great fit. Washington would have been a good fit, but those teams have kind of made their moves already now at this point.
And Washington cap-wise, tough to make fit with their salary. Charlotte could cobble it together, probably.
Pistons here, looking to talk to the assistant general manager for the Suns and Pelicans. If somebody wants to take that up, because I think we are sort of circling toward a couple ideas the Pistons had.
Sure. Yeah. Do you want to do it?
Why don't you take the Suns, Danny? I'll do the Pels.
Sounds good.
So starting with the Suns, what would it take to get Eric Bledsoe? By the way, as the Pistons GM, I know, and I talk closely to the Pelicans GM, and I know there's not really anything mutual overlap at all for Drew Holiday. Because the Pistons are wary of him walking. The Pelicans plan to re-sign him. There's just no overlap there. So let's start with the Suns. Pistons are interested in Eric Bledsoe. I'd be willing to deal Reggie Jackson. And then what else would it take to be able to get Bledsoe?
At least one first-round pick, probably two, because we feel that Reggie Jackson does not fill necessarily a huge need for us. And it's, you know, he's not a bad player. It's not a bad contract, but it's not a huge asset for us. So we need at least one first, and then would you be how are you feeling about Stanley Johnson right now?
Yeah, is he so, So potentially we could send you Stanley Johnson. If you're not so high on Reggie Jackson, maybe there's like another team, the Bulls or the 76ers were the two I had in mind, but maybe there's somebody else. Is there somewhere else that would take him that would put more value on him? That would send you something.
Yeah, Sixers have no interest in Reggie Jackson with Ben Simmons is going to be our point guard now.
How about the Bulls?
I don't think so. We still have these dreams of using cap space in this summer, and I think taking on Reggie would compromise that. And I think he had one really good year last year. This injury just hasn't been playing well enough. You know, I mean, the reason that you're willing to move him is the same reason we're probably not really that interested in him.
So as the Suns, even if we take on the burden of having Reggie Jackson to move him, where would you be feeling about Reggie, your first round pick this year unprotected, and Stanley Johnson for Bledsoe?
Yeah, so maybe we'd do Reggie and Stanley, or Reggie and a protected first, but I don't think we could do both of those assets in addition to Reggie. Is that a non-starter, or is there maybe something there?
It's close to a non-starter, but what I'm trying to figure out is if there's a small thing that we could send. Is there something that we could send back that would make that possible? So what I'm trying to figure out is, so can we put in a little bit? It wouldn't be much, because we're very happy with a lot of our players, but add in something small to make that so we can get that back, because we think that combination could set us up, because he can play the three, maybe a little bit of the four, and is just a nice lottery ticket there. So look through, we're not trading Bender, we're not trading Chris, we're not trading Devin Booker, and some of the other ones we think are a little bit too rich to solve this trade, but kind of want to touch base. If it's that close, we might be able to make a deal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe PJ Tucker could have been that guy, but you've obviously already traded him, and what I have to say was a fantastic trade. So I'm not sure there's a smaller piece there. But you wouldn't do Reggie Jackson and Stanley Johnson or a protected first rounder.
We don't think that's enough of a return at this point, considering the difference in quality and the fact that we think Bledsoe will have a market for him, because then what we're dealing with presumably trading an inferior product, because we don't know where our draft pick is going to be. We might draft our point guard of the future this year. So if we make that decision now, then we're sitting in the same position as you, but with an inferior point guard. And if what's left for us is a protected pick as opposed to an unprotected pick or Stanley Johnson, we don't think that's enough of a return.
And but the Suns really want to make the playoffs next year too. It's been like 8 years now that they'll been out of it. And that
consigns us to a large degree. So we would be interested if we could get those three, and maybe we add in somebody, the Alex Len. We like professional scorer TJ Warren, but if we can get somewhere closer to that and make a deal that is satisfactory for both sides, we could maybe make it happen. But outside of that, you're asking a little bit too much.
Yeah, it seems like there's too much of a gap. I think we'll probably just try and hope Reggie Jackson performs better with the training camp next season, and then see what we can do from there. So I guess moving on to the Pistons. Second priority, where they need to speak to an assistant general manager, Pelicans, would you be interested in something like Aaron Baines, Reggie Bullock, and a second rounder for Tariq Evans? We're also just looking at Evans as a rental, upgrade our bench a little bit, and you get an asset before he leaves.
Yeah, Baines has a player option for next year for $6 million. There have been reports, of course, that we are now trying to trade for Jahlil Okafor, but fortunately, the lobotomy that Dell Demps underwent seems to have fixed everything, and so now he is no longer interested in giving up significant assets for a center. And Baines actually would be a real center who could play 20 minutes a game next to AD. The question of whether he's going to opt in is a difficult one. We are going to have potentially some cap space, but he's not bad at his $6 million. So
I mean, he's going to opt out.
Yeah, and we wouldn't mind giving Reggie Bullock a chance to maybe try to be the 3-and-D guy on the fourth team of his career that desperately needs a 3-and-D guy. Also, like, losing Tyree kind of reduces and we have a 1% chance at the playoffs at this point. So getting worse this year is actually probably a good thing. And maybe Baines will opt in, and then we're in pretty decent shape as far as center, and we can try to fill some other needs in the offseason or re-sign Holiday. Yeah, I think we would be willing to do that. And Bullock is a flyer. We'll see what ends up happening with him in restricted free agency. We can try him out at least.
Oh, great. So it's got to be our 2018 second rounder. We've already traded this year, but that's yours. Let's do it.
Excellent. So
is there any protection on that second rounder?
No.
Top 55 protected, of course. No protected.
Yeah, so 2018 second rounder, Aaron Baines, Reggie Bullock for Tyreek Evans. And that actually helps the Pistons a little bit too, just because if Baines were to opt in, they're like potentially looking at the tax next year. So, and they've got Boban and John Luer who can play some center. I think that actually, that makes some sense.
Yep, Boban's in the rotation now. Everybody get excited.
Who's next here?
If we don't have anything else, Pacers here. We're wondering if Brooklyn might have interest in moving Justin Hamilton for Paul Pierce.
Whom you just picked up in that Clippers trade?
Yep.
No, I don't think so. While Paul Pierce's return to Boston was touching, I don't think his return to Brooklyn would be nearly as touching. Hamilton is an okay backup center under contract for next year. So I think he's for only $3 million. I don't see any reason to just take on some dead salary for a guy who's just not going to want to play for us at all. Besides, hey, Paul Pierce could still play for you guys.
He could. We feel more confident about Hamilton. What we would be willing to do is we currently owe you a reverse protected pick, that a second round pick that you only get if it finishes in the top 15. We'd be willing to make that a full second round pick this year and then push that protection to next year. So basically you'd be getting a full extra second round pick.
Now, you know what? Frankly, we'd rather have a second rounder later and hope that it gets higher, because I think you guys are going to make the playoffs this year, especially now that you have JJ Redick. So I would rather, we're not going to be good anytime soon anyway, so we might as well just push that obligation further and hope that it gets to be higher. So I think we are not interested in that, Pacers.
Okay.
But thank you.
I'm the slight chance this makes any difference. Timberwolves here. Paul Pierce is our second choice for getting to the salary floor if you just don't want to have him.
I mean, we do think there's some chance he helps us as a backup power forward. I don't think we can do that. We'd have to get something and someone in return and who could legitimately help us.
Okay.
Jordan Hill.
I had that thought, but then that defeats the salary floor purpose.
He also said legitimately help them.
I did.
Sons, have you guys tried to trade like Brandon Knight or Tyson Chandler or Jared Dudley or any of those guys yet?
We kind of put them all, well, not Knight is sort of in a separate category, but all those veteran guys we put out in a category together. And that's what led to the one trade with PJ Tucker. But Brandon Knight is very much available.
Are you willing to throw something in to give him up?
No. I mean, here's the subtext that I'm not going to quite say, but we're only going to trade him if we can save face on the trade. Anything less than that, we'll just keep him.
Dan, I hate how realistic you are as these GMs. I think, you know, the Nets probably would have been interested in just taking him on as a guy who could just be something. He could probably play with Jeremy Lin at times, play off the ball a little bit. But other than that, I don't think that any of my teams actually want to give up anything to get him. And again, like, he could be another one of these summer guys where if a team strikes out on the point guard market or it's just too rich, then maybe they can get him. I mean, the problem is 3 more years is really a long time on that 5-year $70 million deal that he signed in restricted free agency with the Suns.
I'm mildly fascinated by the idea of the Bucks trying to bring Brandon Knight back as a sixth man if the return was low enough, but I don't think that Henson, Toledovich, Dellavedova, and probably Dellavedova wouldn't even be on the table. I don't think that crew is enough to get it done.
We like Toledovich.
Former son.
Right.
Yeah, don't you guys have like 4 young fours you need to play though, Phoenix?
Yeah.
You already have Jared Dudley.
Yes. It's just in a general sense we like Toledovich.
The other thought I thought about proposing was Toledovich for Dudley. Like, let's both undo the moves we made to let those two guys go.
And we are not seeing the fireworks that we saw in the first 2 episodes of the mock trade deadline here.
But that would be the funniest trade we've ever made. I don't think the Suns should do it, but I kind of want to. I don't think we can, but that'd be great.
So I promise there are some real trades coming up, but in the meantime, you can salivate over Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a food delivery service that is made from the best high quality ingredients that make a real difference compared to just buying stuff at the regular grocery store. Everything is pre-portioned out perfectly, absolutely no food waste whatsoever. They just ship you the exact amount of ingredient that's required for a recipe. And that's how they're able to give you these great home-cooked meals for less than $10 per person per meal. If you go to a high-end grocery store to get this quality of ingredients, you're going to spend a lot more. It's going to be a lot more time-consuming. And then you're going to waste a bunch of food because you can't get the exact amount you need for each recipe. I've probably made over 40 Blue Aprons right now with my girlfriend since they've been a sponsor almost a year now. And it's just as innovative every single time it comes. We've probably tasted flavors inspired by the entire globe at this point, maybe not Antarctica, but just about everything else. Learned a lot of new cooking techniques as well. They recently upgraded their recipe sheet, so it's even easier to prepare the food. It's really just a wonderful service. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/capspace. That's blueapron.com/capspace, a URL. Easy to remember that /capspace because we talk about capspace all the time in the program. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Pels, are you guys still trying to dump Omer Asik and Alexis Ajinsa?
Yeah,
or have you given up on that already?
I mean, we're trying to dump them, but we'd rather just ride it out with them rather than give up an asset to dump them. So if somebody wants to take them, they're yours.
That seems unlikely. What about Darren Williams in Dallas? Maybe a team could use him.
Thunder here, what are you looking for in Dallas for Darren Williams? We would be thinking about him as an option for backup point guard. He would get to play on a playoff team. Just want to see what you're thinking in terms of that long term.
Man, I really wish we were doing this as a video because you could have seen me shrug like 9,000 times while you were talking, Danny. I don't know. I mean, I would think we'd like a young asset, but apparently we want to keep him for some reason. And that's what we're inclined to do. I don't know. I'm not totally sold on that. If you have something that you think makes sense, but I gotta say, for some reason, we're inclined to keep him.
How do you feel about Anthony Morrow? He's a shooter that could help you. You have a lot of point guards already. Your point guards right now are doing very, very well, but having some shooting at the two would add to your rotation, and that would clear a little bit of space. We don't have much in the way of picks, but that could be something, and I believe we could put together some sort of second if you wanted as well.
What about Jeremy Grant?
Jeremy Grant is team controlled for next year at basically the minimum, so that and he actually plays on our team now that Ennis Kanter is out. So we like Darren Williams, but we would rather not include him in a deal.
Yeah, see, Jeremy Grant looks about like the appropriate value where I would do it, because like I said, for some reason, I'm inclined to keep Darren Williams. So for Jeremy Grant and filler, I think we'd be interested, but I'm not sure what else would work. I'm assuming Sabonis rates even higher than Grant.
Yes, he does. Absolutely he does. So Anthony Morrow and a 2018 second round pick is insufficient?
Yeah, if it were two second rounders, I think that might be where we would bite. But I think just one is not going to be enough.
Because the problem for us is that he is a straight rental for us, because we're going to be deep into the luxury tax next year. So
he also would have to approve any trade.
Right. But yeah,
we can get his agent on the phone and see his willingness to go to the Thunder.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Right.
it's not very far.
It is not. I go to a better team.
It's a chance for him to build his value in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or have it destroyed.
Hey, look at Rondo. It didn't destroy his value.
Playing in the playoffs last year for the Kings?
No, I was thinking 2 years ago.
So yeah, I think we would need two second rounders and that put us like right on the edge. I'd need a second to think about it, but one is not going to get it done. So if you're willing to do two, give me a second to think about it. But
the Oklahoma City Thunder would like to get the New Orleans Pelicans on the line to see what their valuation is for Tim Frazier. We could make a similar offer, or if you don't want Anthony Morrow at all, we could even just get him into space, because we wouldn't have we could just not do that if you want.
Yeah, we would need more, because now that we've traded Tyreek Evans, Frazier, there's a clearer path for him to get playing time now. He's under contract for next year. With Holiday being a free agent, we sort of look at Frazier as our fallback option. We don't want it to come to that, but he does have a lot of value for us as potentially our starting point guard next year if everything goes wrong.
What about Langston Galloway? That's exactly where I was going to go.
For the Thunder?
Yes.
Or as our...
Hey, whichever dealer's choice, whichever, you tell me what you're interested in. As I think Langston Galloway's presence as a local product would probably push Tim Frazier a little bit out. But if you think Frazier trumps him, then we can talk Langston Galloway.
Well, they could be our two point guards.
You have each one more as well.
That is true.
So it's basically the same circumstance. Like we can give up a second for Langston Galloway. He has a player option for next year. We don't know how he's feeling about that, but we could give up a second rounder for him. And if you feel like Anthony Morrow makes you happy, we can include him in the trade, though we would prefer to just take him into cap space.
Yeah, I just don't think a single second rounder from the Thunder is enough for either of those players.
What if we reverse protect it for 1 year and then for one year or give you the right to choose to defer it for a year? So it's 2018 or 2019. We don't know. Russell Westbrook is going to be a free agent at that point. There is a little bit of risk premium for you there.
Yeah, a little bit, but it would also reflect poorly on us to trade Galloway now. And you've heard how much I like Frazier, but for us to trade Galloway now, right after we signed him for just a second round pick, we're trying to prove that we knew what we were doing last offseason. This would fly in the face of that. So I just don't think that's quite enough. I think it'd have to be multiple second rounders, or maybe even, maybe some type of reverse protected first rounder, or I guess not reverse protected first rounder, but a protected first rounder. And we're realistic. Maybe that's something that becomes a second rounder or two at some point, but at least start as the possibility of a first rounder.
That's too much for the Thunder. And also that dance does not work with OKC because of our existing obligations to Utah and another one, which I'm forgetting right now.
Right.
But yeah, so that wouldn't work for us. But we also think that's an overly rosy valuation of your guys, though. If somebody else wants to pay you that for them, by all means.
Sacramento, I'd be interested in trading you Courtney Lee and take back Rudy Gay's expiring contract. If he were to opt in, that wouldn't be the end of the world for us, but we still expect him to opt out in New York. And we'd be interested, as long as you could give us a decent asset, maybe a Malachi Richardson back, something in the way of a draft pick, maybe Omri Caspi could be involved. Like, those are all sorts of things that we might be interested in there. What do you think of that, Kings? You could have a starting shooting guard under contract for 3 more years after this one. That's better than you're probably going to do with your cap space this summer.
Can I jump in to say I like the idea of Courtney Lee somehow following Aaron Aflalo 2 consecutive years? Teams realizing that what they wanted in Aaron Aflalo was actually Courtney Lee.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Rudy Gay is either going to opt in or re-sign with us because he loves it here in Sacramento.
So that you said you had no more jokes, but you were right. You were wrong. You misled us the whole time.
So that's going to weigh on a little. I like Courtney Lee, but he's limited to playing just shooting guard. We do have Aflalo. We have Garrett Temple.
Yeah, but you're going to cut Aflalo. This is more of a move for the next 3 years to have like a decent shooting guard under contract. I mean, Temple is more of a backup quality of player. Aflalo is making $12 million next year, only like $1 million of that or so is guaranteed. So you're going to cut him. You're not going to have him anymore.
What do you think about a Aflalo for Lee, and then you can get off the salary?
No, we'd like to have a little bit more than that for him. We'd like to get something back, whether it's Malachi Richardson, whether even Caspi has a small cap hold with bird rights. We could maybe look to re-sign him. I don't know if you have any interest in Lance Thomas either. Thomas is someone that we might be willing to kind of just dump if you wanted to send Matt Barnes back for us.
What does Barnes guarantee for next year?
$6 million, which he's going to opt into. And Thomas is basically $7 million a year for 2 years after Barnes would expire.
Yeah, I mean, Barnes has meshed so well with Boogie. They've gotten along so well. I wouldn't necessarily want to disrupt that.
I like that you're trying to get Matt Barnes on the Knicks.
Dan, you're doing like an amazing job, by the way. Like, this is really it's incredibly frustrating to deal with you, and that's how it must feel.
Hey, you
for,
just got
like everybody just gotta, to deal
you just
with
gotta
Knicks.
You gotta feel lucky that we answered the phone. Yeah, I mean, Aflalo and Malachi is too much, but I don't necessarily hate the idea of Aflalo and a small asset for Courtney Lee. But Malachi is too much. I'm just trying to figure out what that small asset might be.
Rockets here, if you are interested, we would be happy to trade you a middle second round pick. We have 2 mid-seconds. We would trade one of those for Omri Caspi if you were interested.
Well, we would just send New York Omri Caspi, I think. I think they
I know, but we're saying we could facilitate this trade if that helps any of the sides involved. help.
Knicks, would you rather have Caspi or a second rounder?
Well, your second rounder may go to the Bulls this year. Almost certainly will, actually. So we're probably looking at 2018.
It's from Houston. We have Portland and Denver's second round picks. So we could give you either, we could give you the better of those if you prefer for Caspi.
Ooh, let me look at who's on this Knicks roster again real quick here.
Well, what about this? What if it were Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas? I'm presuming Lance Thomas just has negative value to you at this point. For Courtney Lee,
I think he's about average value. Maybe, I mean, I won't tell you this, maybe a little bit of negative value, but
what if instead of us sending you a small positive asset, what if you attach Lance Thomas to Courtney Lee, so you send us a small negative asset? So Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas for Aaron Aflalo.
Can you do that? I guess you can.
I was surprised too.
I'd forgotten how much Aaron Aflalo was making.
Hold on, let me find these. $12.5 million, right? Let me find this Knicks roster here.
I'm pretty sure Aaron Aflalo like has said multiple times how much he loved it in New York and would just love to go back, and you just get the best version of Aaron Aflalo.
I mean, what's interesting is with that trade, if you renounce Derrick Rose, you could clear $43 million in cap space.
Mm. And we know you think free agents love New York.
Well, our whole plan is that we're rebuilding a little bit here. So that's kind of part of the problem is...
Well, you're positioned to take salary dumps from some other teams. If there's a young free agent, you could make a run at him and accelerate the rebuild. You know, if you have that cap space, you have all kinds of options.
Yeah, so Lee and Thomas for Aflalo, that's what the trade would be at this point.
Right.
Yeah, well, we do have Austin Rivers now. As our starting shooting guard. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to do that.
Oh, great. Just, fantastic. So now we're all done here, right? I don't need to do anything else. We agreed. We shook on it. It's done. No other things to do, right?
Yeah. Aaron Aflalo for Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas. Yeah, and I think my thinking here is I just started to think more and more about just how bad paying both of those guys $20 million or so combined 4 years from now is going to be when Kristaps Porzingis actually will presumably have signed his max designated player extension. And because really in my plan with the Knicks, I'm getting nothing out of them now. And I also suspect that the market is going to normalize a lot in 2017 and 2018. I think that is a good move to make. So we will do that. Sign me up.
One catch though. I'm pretty sure when we make this trade call that we absolutely know we have to make and do that promptly and take care of that. They're going to say we're going to have to open a roster spot. So are you interested in Ben McLemore?
Yeah, I mean, we'll just take him for free.
No, that's not. I mean, we still value him. We think he's on the verge of turning it around at any moment. How about we'll add McLemore, you add a second rounder.
All right, we have Houston's and Chicago's pick this year. How about we give you Houston's pick?
How about Chicago's?
Yeah, I guess that Houston pick's going to be pretty worthless. All right, that's fine. We can take a flyer on Ben McLemore and maybe look to re-sign him as a restricted free agent. I think he, now that he's out of that toxic Kings culture and into our awesome Knicks culture, things are really going to start looking up for him. All right, so that's done. Ben McLemore and Aaron Aflalo going to New York. Aflalo will probably get bought out post-haste. And then Lance Thomas and Courtney Lee going back in conjunction with Chicago's 2017 second rounder.
Great.
Sacramento, while you're rolling through these high-end trades, Houston here, would you be interested in anything involving Omri Caspi? We'd be intrigued at him to get him for a second-round pick. We have both Portland's and Denver's.
We'd probably want both of those for Caspi.
How are you feeling about both of those? Is a little bit rich, but we have an interesting guy who'd be a flyer for you in KJ McDaniels. So he has a team option for next year. So you either pick that up or you could decline it and make him a restricted free agent. Would you be interested in him and then one of the seconds?
Oh, I like him. It'd be interesting to see what he could do in our system. We would do him and the better of those 2 seconds.
That's a little bit rich for us. How about the worst? They're going to be really close. So it's the worst of those 2 seconds.
Deal.
Okay, so Omri Caspi for KJ McDaniels and the worst of the 2 seconds that Houston has in the second round.
Hey, so just between you and me, I'm still figuring out how this works. We just made a trade with the Knicks. Can we take care of this on one trade call, or do we have to call twice, or do I have to have somebody else call?
We can do it as one call if you want.
Oh, great. I'm limited on Phil Jackson's
time is very limited here. The cell service in my cabin in Montana, a little bit spotty. I don't think we have time to be on this second trade call. Let's just do them separately. I got some fish to catch.
Bye.
So I think we're getting about done here. Are there just any guys who just teams want to dump from just as dead salary and give up an asset? I mean, I've got Brooklyn with plenty of space. There's all these like salary floor teams. I think if once we roll through those, we're probably about done here.
Blazers here, Brooklyn, we think that Festus Ezeli would get you almost perfectly to the floor, and we would be willing to pay off his remaining salary this season in addition to the money you'd save by getting to the floor.
Yeah, I think as Brooklyn, hey, we might even like try to get the guy and see whether he can play at all. And he's got that million guaranteed for 17-18. We don't care about that. So, yeah, I think we'll you're talking about just taking him and that's it?
Yep.
And you're paying his salary?
So it's like $2.5 million cash?
Well, let me wait. Is there anyone else who is trying to dump guys who actually would be willing to give up an asset to give it to us? Like, what about Cleveland? You've got like some flotsam there. You're paying big tax money.
I mean, we're trying to get off Jordan McRae's salary, but we're not willing to give up anything with that. And we don't I don't believe we can offer any more cash at this point. So we're just hoping someone would take him to get closer to the floor.
You know, I don't think, I mean, maybe what we would do is just buy out Randy Foy at this point, because I don't actually think that any of our other guys other than that are better than the McRae is actually better than any of those guys. So yeah, I guess if we bought out Randy Foy or just cut him, that's something we could just take on McRae. I think we'd be willing to do that. Although that would then preclude us really from doing the Ezeli trade, because everyone else I think we'd rather probably do the Ezeli trade than do McRae. So why don't we do the Ezeli trade instead?
All right, great.
So
that also gives
Ezeli,
Portland a nice
I have to
trade
send something back though. I guess I can send a top 55 protected second rounder in.
Well, doesn't Brooklyn have the draft rights to somebody?
Oh gosh. Yeah, but actually, I think the only guy that I have on here is Juan Pablo Voile, who we actually gave up some assets to try and get. So we do not have our 2019 or 2020 pick. So I guess a 2021 second rounder top 55 protected would be fine.
Perfect.
What else is out there on the dumping market? I think that Brooklyn is now over the salary floor. We saved some money. Philly could still hasn't really done anything. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Timberwolves here. Not really sure what team these guys are on anymore. Our first choice for reaching the floor is if we can just take Mike Scott. Our second choice is we'd be willing to take Paul Pierce to bring some veteran leadership.
Are you willing to, with Thibs. Clippers here, are you willing to give up an asset for Mike Scott? Because we like him as a fit on our team.
No. Okay. So then how about Paul Pierce?
Paul Pierce was a no, sorry.
Oh, you want to just keep him?
Yeah, at this point.
As Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, we can stretch his salary for next year pretty easily, and there is some chance he helps us down the stretch.
Okay.
That nobody else who teams are looking to dump here, it looks like, at this point.
I mean, not for an asset, but if someone wants to take Roy Hibbert $5 million to get to this salary floor, I mean, I think Phoenix, that about gets you guys perfectly to the floor, or gets you pretty close.
Yeah, are you willing to pay some of his salary?
Let's see. He's got about $1.5 million left. We'd be able to. We'd throw in $1 million, I suppose.
And also, really important to get him off the roster because Jason Kidd might actually play him.
Clears up a roster spot so we can bring back Steve Novak, and you know who would love us some Steve Novak.
Sure, we'll do that.
Okay.
You know, I had one other, as I go through my notes here, one other big trade I wanted to propose. Detroit. You guys are looking at the luxury tax. You're not necessarily going anywhere. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, rumored to be wanting the max as a restricted free agent. We've got a bunch of draft picks available here.
Who are we?
Well, we are the Philly 76ers, if I didn't say that already.
You're putting us all in suspense.
It has been a lot. Well, yeah, you got to create suspense at this point. KCP, I think, would be an awesome fit for us next to Ben Simmons as a guy who could guard ones and twos, let Ben run the point on offense, get out and run, shoot some threes. He's a young guy, would be on our timeline. We've probably not going to do any better in free agency than just paying him this year. So we would be very interested in acquiring him, and we have all of these draft picks that are available. What would the price be for him?
So we're probably talking about two major draft picks, because at his age, he also fits on our timeline. If we get rid of him, it's really going to change our whole direction, because I don't know how we'd get a replacement shooting guard. We are okay paying him, but I think it'd be much easier to offload, if it comes to it, Tobias Harris or John Luehr to escape the luxury tax, if that's what's important to us, do that later. But if we lose KCP now, it's really got to be for like a very high draft pick. You know, something, we're talking the Lakers pick, we're talking your own pick, something like that. And then probably two draft picks. Maybe they don't both have to be super high, but one of them does, because then it forces us to, the dominoes that would fall for us would just be so major.
Yeah. Would the worst of our pick or Sacramento's in 2019 do it?
As like that secondary, but not the major pick as the centerpiece of it. Yeah, that's not going to quite be enough, because then that just puts us kind of in the wilderness for 2 years. I'm coaching this team. I have to put up with these guys every day. I don't want to deal with this losing every day. KCP is our shooting guard. I guess we have Tyreek Evans now, but he's not the same fit. We just wanted him for a spark off the bench. So I don't think that's going to be enough to delay our track record. Or delay our outlook.
Yeah, it's really tough for Philly, because I think he would be an awesome fit. But when you consider that he's about to get maxed out, the problem is that he just has more value to the Pistons at that max than anyone else at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm with you. I think it's a great fit.
But yeah, and for us, these picks that we have, everybody else's picks that we have, we can't like protect those when we trade them. So there's just always that chance that any of those unprotected picks, the Lakers unprotected in 2018, Sacramento unprotected in 2019, could really come to fruition. I think we're probably just not willing to go that high, especially when you consider how much he's going to need to be paid. So it was a good thought, but if you're feeling that you really need like two good picks, that's too much for us.
Okay.
Quick question for the Pistons as OKC. Are you willing to give, do you want Benno on your team, or would you give him up to the OKC for basically nothing?
We'd rather have him for the depth than nothing, but it wouldn't take much more than nothing to get rid of him.
Do you have an interest in Samaje Christian?
Like I said, it would take a little more than nothing to get rid of him.
Flashed a nice post-up game at the D-League Showcase in Toronto. I think we're probably about done here, huh? Anybody else have anything that's just like burning a hole in their pocket right now?
Timberwolves here. We have Ricky Rubio.
I don't care what you're about to say, KP. We might have to just end it right there. Right there on that one.
I mean, I could do it again, or you could just edit it and switch it around.
I was just going to point out that we never completed that Suns trade. I technically need to get the rights to someone if you want to give me our top 55 pick is Milwaukee.
Do we have the rights to anybody?
You have Dwayne Collins, who was drafted number 60 in 2010, or Milos Vujinic, who was drafted in 2002.
The 02 guy the league might actually void. The 2010 guy, right. You're probably okay.
Right.
I'd like to do the older guy. But
if the guy has straight up retired, the league will actually usually void that. And I'm guessing that guy is not still playing professional basketball any longer.
Real GM record of him playing professional basketball.
Did he ever play professional basketball?
He did at some point, but they only go back to, I mean, he was a member of the Serbian national team for a while, but they only go back so far. So I think Dwayne Collins it is.
Can I just add, like, Dwayne Collins has no value to me?
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah, 2010.
Sir. Yes.
That's right.
He is yours.
So we're going to wrap things up here in a moment, talk about our impressions, some of our general takeaways. But first, I wanted to go through and just run down every transaction that we had. The big one, the Clippers get their man, Carmelo Anthony. They had to give up J.J. Redick to do it. Also had to give up Austin Rivers, Bryce Johnson. And then the Knicks were able to flip J.J. Redick to the Pacers for a first round pick in 2018, which was lottery protected and also 21-30 protected. And then lottery protected the next 4 years until it became unprotected in 2023. The Knicks also took back Lavoie Allen, who has a team option for next year, and Aaron Brooks, so they didn't take on any extra salary at all. The Pacers also took on Paul Pierce from the Clippers to help them out of their hard cap issues, and Anthony ended up waiving his no trade clause to go, and also his trade bonus, because that was needed to fit into and make the trade legal.
In our second blockbuster, the Denver Nuggets got Paul Millsap from the Hawks in exchange for Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernan Gomez, and Yusuf Nurkic. Denver gets Millsap. They made another big move later too, to get Goran Dragic, and the Hawks get three good prospects, not all of whom are guaranteed to turn into starters, but all three of whom probably have a chance to look like pretty decent prospects. The Raptors got their upgrade at the four after missing out on Millsap, Serge Ibaka, and they sent back Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright, Jared Sullinger, and Jakob Poeltl, who is probably the biggest piece in that deal, a number nine pick in 2016. Wasn't in the rotation right now for the Raptors, though. The Hornets got another playmaker for the second unit in Lou Williams, and the Lakers picked up Ramon Sessions and Charlotte's 2018 first rounder, lottery protected for 5 years and finally becoming unprotected in 2023. The Hawks then continued their sale of players who are pending free agents. Mike Dunleavy, Mike Scott, and Tabo Sefolosha all went to the Clippers. The Clippers sent back Jamal Crawford. The Hawks took on his $14 million for 2018, a little bit guaranteed in 2019. And then the Clippers' first round pick, top 10 protected in 2021 and 2022, top 8 in 2023, and then reverting to a 2023 second rounder if not conveyed by 2023. So getting that lighter protected first rounder from the Clippers, it probably wasn't enough to just send out those three guys who are expiring contracts to the Clippers. So they also had to take on Crawford's salary, but with the Hawks rebuilding, they're willing to do that in exchange for a first rounder, and maybe Crawford might be flippable at a later time. In a smaller move, the Utah Jazz looked to shuffle the deck chairs at point guard, picking up Malcolm Delaney from the Hawks under contract for the year after this one at $2.5 million. And the Hawks got Raul Neto and the worst of Detroit and New York's 2017 second rounders, which the Jazz already have. The Blazers wanted to go with more of a pure backup center option, someone who's a little bit cheaper and under contract for longer. They picked up Kyle O'Quinn and Marshall Plumlee, who the Knicks had to move anyway due to some of the other trades they made. In exchange, they got Ed Davis and the worst of Portland's and Sacramento's 2018 second rounder. Miami looked to move on from all of their guys with expiring contracts. This one maybe not that realistic considering they've won 11 straight right now, but they're still not going anywhere. My thinking was to just get what they could for expiring guys. So they traded Deion Waiters, James Johnson, and Willie Reed for Vince Carter and Jarrell Martin, who is really the asset there, Carter more to match the salary, from the Memphis Grizzlies. Another big one, the Nuggets, now that they're all in with Paul Millsap, targeted Goran Dragic in what ended up being a three-way trade. The Heat's big return there was Emmanuel Mudiay. They took on Mike Miller's salary that doesn't go past this year. And then the Cavaliers, to help the salary match, took Jameer Nelson, who's making about $4.5 million, into their trade exception to give LeBron James another effing playmaker. And Miami, just to grease the wheels a little bit, took on Chris Anderson's contract from the Cavaliers to help them reduce their luxury tax bill a little bit. And then Cleveland sent a 2021 second rounder to the Nuggets in exchange for Nelson. Miami had to waive a few people, Derek Williams among them, who actually just got waived in real life anyway. I think Luke Babbitt as well probably would have had to go there. The Bulls, seeing everyone else loading up in the Eastern Conference, decided that it made sense to move on from Taj Gibson. The Celtics overloaded with first-round picks. They sent Tyler Zeller, who is non-guaranteed at $8 million for next year, and Boston's own 2018 first-rounder in exchange for Taj Gibson. This was a bit of an odd challenge trade. The Wizards, facing luxury tax hell, having to re-sign Otto Porter this summer. Andrew Nicholson not really playing for them. The Knicks wanted to get off of Joakim Noah's salary. So they traded Noah to the Wizards for Andrew Nicholson and Jan Mahimi, who hasn't played yet this year, although his return is supposed to be imminent. That saved the Wizards about $4 million per season. And the Knicks got someone in Mahimi who, I was the Knicks, believe that he is more likely to be good going forward than Noah was. Maurice Endor was also in that deal just to help match salaries. And then the Knicks and Wizards also did another trade. Brandon Jennings going to be a pending free agent, making $5 million this year. The Wizards got him at backup point guard, upgrading there in their mind, giving up Trey Burke and a 2017 second rounder going from Washington back to New York. The Rockets acquired PJ Tucker and Leandro Barbosa from the Suns, Tucker being the main guy there. They also would have full bird rights if they wanted to re-sign him. That probably wasn't worth the first round pick that went back from Houston to the Suns on its own, the 2017 first rounder. But the Suns also took on Corey Brewer, who's owed over $7 million for next season, and that was enough to buy that pick. The Pistons looking for some additional playmaking with the Pelicans out of it. The Pelicans picked up Reggie Bullock, Aaron Baines, and Detroit's 2018 second rounder in exchange for pending free agent to be Tyreek Evans, who can give the Pistons some more playmaking off the bench. Bullock is going to be a restricted free agent. Baines has a player option for next year, which he may or may not take on, but he would be a decent option as a center, probably more for New Orleans if he opts into that. Bullock will be a restricted free agent, and they got the second rounder there too. Probably good return for Tyreek Evans, and who can help in the Pistons playoff push. This is another one that was pretty interesting. The Knicks traded Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas, and Chicago's 2017 second rounder, which they have, for basically a salary dump. Aaron Aflalo and Ben McLemore. Lee is useful right now. Thomas, maybe less so, but they're under contract for 3 more years after this one. Aflalo only due $1.5 million guaranteed next year. He's making $12.5 million this year. And then McLemore, just a flyer that was needed to, because the Kings didn't want to move on from anybody else, and maybe he can do something in New York and they might re-sign him as a restricted free agent. Another smaller level trade, the Rockets loading up on combo forwards, picking up Omri Caspi from the Kings, and they sent back KJ McDaniels, who has a team option for next year at about $3 million, or he could be made a restricted free agent if they decline that. And the worst of Denver's 2017 second rounder and Portland's 2017 second rounder, which the Kings had. The Nets try to get to the salary floor by picking up Festus Ezeli. They also get $2.5 million in cash from Portland to pay Ezeli's salary for the rest of the year. He also has $1 million guaranteed in 2017-18, with Portland facing some luxury tax implications. It was worth it to get off of that. And the Blazers just got a nominal top 55 protected second rounder pack from Brooklyn, and Brooklyn hoping that Festus might, by some miracle, get healthy and maybe could contribute for them next year if he does so by then. And then in a similar transaction, the Suns took on Roy Hibbert and $1 million in cash from the Milwaukee Bucks in exchange for the rights to Dwayne Collins, who has never played in the NBA and is just sort of a placeholder there. Phoenix trying to get to the salary floor. All right, let's see what everyone had to think about all these transactions.
So I wanted to talk to you guys about just what some of your observations were about the process, what you see as some of the trends, any lessons that you learned about just what the landscape is in the league right now.
Not everybody's getting to the floor. Maybe that was just like us stopping it short, but it's just hard to see too many guys who have no value who'd just be given away, who aren't expiring contracts. I guess maybe if we get to the floor, if some of those teams are willing to take on salary for future years, but I don't think it's going to be so simple to get everybody to the floor if they don't want to take on any burden for the future.
Which means we might have more of this, I don't know what the right analogy is, but teams waving players back and forth to try to get them to get closer to the floor.
And that's why, as the Suns, even though they could save money with Hibbert, I'm like, well, you got to get some salary because somebody could claim him and you lose that.
Oh, you're saying if they then cut him, if they don't keep him on the roster for the rest of the year?
Right, right, if they cut him.
Yeah.
Which is the one interesting thing is you wonder if like Milwaukee might just, or a team like that might just take the chance on waving Hibbert because someone might claim him and, you know, you don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd is going to play him. That is my guess actually right now, that I'm going to be banging my head against the wall because he's going to do that. For me, it was, I thought we arrived at, this has been a lament of mine for a long time, that there's no like 1.5th round pick, you know, in between. A lot of times the value of someone is in between a first and a second rounder. And I like the way that we found to calibrate that, which was, okay, you take on a little bit of salary, bad salary for next year. And now maybe that bad salary on its own wouldn't have been enough to get a first rounder. Maybe the player on an expiring contract that you're sending to a contender wouldn't have been enough. But, you know, like that Atlanta trade where they took on Crawford and gave up Cephalosha and Dunleavy and Mike Scott, the Corey Brewer, PJ Tucker to Houston. Were two examples of that. I liked that way of just finding another piece of value that could equal a first round pick.
I sort of, to piggyback off that, as long as we're talking about draft picks, one thing that became crystallized to me was, okay, it seems like the next draft always has higher value because it's more likely the GM in place at the deadline is going to be the one making that pick than in a future year. So that's always prioritized. But because this 2017 draft is so loaded, there was such a clear, more than any other year I can remember, such such a clear difference between 2007, like the next draft first round pick, and then the following draft. It seemed like there was a big drop there.
I mean, talking to people, go ahead, Danny.
Well, talking to people in the league, even if they don't feel this year's draft is that much better than next year's or an average draft, everyone else feels so strongly that way that you don't want to trade your pick unless someone is dramatically overpaying for it. That makes sense?
Yeah, and I've actually always felt that that whole, like, oh, we can tell how good the draft is this far in advance, is always been a bit of a fallacy. There have been a lot of drafts, like 07 was supposed to be this generational draft, and it wasn't. 03 was, and it was. 14 was supposed to be, and it's been kind of average. I think that teams that are telling themselves that maybe going a little bit further, like if I were a GM, I might try to take advantage of that a little bit. And 18 is supposed to be okay too.
That was part. So for me, my understanding of this draft, I was making the trade as Houston, is that there's a drop off somewhere around the lottery, and Houston's going to be far from that. And so I think while they draft very well, that the combination of things that I got back was worth it. But that was basically what it was going to take for me. But the one other thing I wanted to mention is, and I've written about this, a lot of us have, it is so hard to trade true centers, basically whatever quality they are. Like Brook Lopez, almost impossible to trade. Nick Vucevic, almost impossible to trade. A lot of the crappy, like, kind of end of the rotation guys, almost impossible to trade.
Andrew Bogut stuck on the Mavericks at the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to get bought out. I mean, there was nobody who wanted to take him if we ever circled back, right? Like, because Boston, they got their guy.
Portland got their guy. And I mean, maybe that anyway.
Yeah, and the Cavs will just be waiting around for him to get bought out. And he's been injured all year, too. All right, so I want to take a little poll here. If you guys want to get the list of all the trades in front of you, most realistic trade that we agreed to, of, like, kind of the major ones. Start with you, KP.
I guess maybe the Ibaka trade. You know, I think if Millsap doesn't end up moving, which is probably the more likely scenario where Atlanta is in the standings, then I can see that being the kind of trade that Toronto and Orlando would make.
What about you, Danny?
The Trey Burke, Brandon Jennings trade is too small to count, right? Because I think that one, it should happen.
Well, you know, I think this is actually what I wanted to say too, is in the backing up slightly to the whole trends thing, is I think especially me as the East sellers, I was just way more realistic about where we were at. I was willing to move more guys, try to rebuild, wasn't diluting myself about contention. Like those trades from the Knicks and maybe not Orlando as much, but the Knicks and Hawks, those big trades that they made, I felt like were not necessarily, I think those are trades that should happen, but if you look at just the mindsets of those organizations, I don't know that they would happen necessarily.
And maybe the Heat in that same boat.
Right. Yeah. The Dragic trade too. You know, and who knows how they would evaluate Moutier, but now having won 11 straight, I mean, it's really hard to break that up. But maybe by the trade deadline, they'll have lost, like, you know, 3 of 5 or something, and they can kind of stop, like, going down this path.
I think related to that, Nate, is the way that in this scenario, a couple of big trades sort of set a cascade of those teams trading their other expiring players. So once Atlanta trades Millsap, all of a sudden it makes more sense to trade Cephalosha, etc. And then same thing in this case with the Knicks with Melo and all the other guys they traded.
And that was part of my motivation in doing that, was that it wasn't only, oh, we're going to lose Paul Millsap for nothing. It's we're going to lose Paul Millsap and Tabo Cephalosha and Mike Dunleavy, although Dunleavy could be under contract if we wanted him to be next year, and Mike Scott. And so it's not only I'm getting all these awesome guys for Millsap. I mean, I thought that was a great haul for him. And I think, did you think, so that trade, to reiterate, was Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernan Gomez, and Yusuf Nurkic for Paul Millsap. Do you guys think that was more unrealistic from the Atlanta side or the Denver side?
Atlanta. Just because we're like, I think it's just because in the general idea, like, we don't know exactly which players the Hawks would value. Like, you, Nate Duncan, like all three of those guys. I do too.
Right.
But it's just tough to presume that the Hawks would like all three in the same way that we do. Where I think it's easier to presume that the Nuggets would like Paul Millsap.
Which I also think it's more likely that you'd have draft picks involved in both that Nuggets trade for Millsap and that, or a Toronto trade for Ibaka.
Yeah, that's probably, rather than the players, I think that does make sense because it allows, I mean, that's the underrated part of the draft pick, is it lets you pick who you want. Now, of course, you have no idea that the guy you want is actually going to be there, but yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see whether like the Nuggets would really do that, because they still are risking losing Millsap for nothing. I think it's more a function of just they have so many young guys and so many assets that it's just like, why don't we just give this a shot here? I mean, the other problem is if they could actually get above like the seventh or eighth seed at this point, but they're probably have so bad of a record that that's not realistic. And so you do all this and then you're just playing the Warriors anyway, and now you're giving a five-year max contract to Paul Millsap.
But the team they created, a lot of the other guys, like I think the reason that becomes better is because getting Goran Dragic presumably makes it more likely that Paul Millsap resigns. But I guess you could argue that him getting a five-year max probably on a decent team makes that likely anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that now he's more likely to want to stick around. Dan, did you have any more thoughts on like which one was like most realistic before we talk about which one is most unrealistic?
Well, I actually was debating between two, and one was the one Danny said, which is Brandon Jennings for Trey Burke and a Wizard second rounder. So I'll say the other one, which is Lou Williams for Ramon Sessions and a protected Hornets first rounder.
Yeah. Most unrealistic for me, I thought that Knicks Kings trade, the Lee and Lance Thomas and that second rounder for Aflalo and McLemore. I don't know that either team would be remotely interested in doing that. And again, we're so far down the rabbit hole with the Knicks actually trying to rebuild that, you know, it's the whole path that they took was completely unrealistic. But I liked where they kind of ended up. And I thought actually the PJ Tucker trade was pretty realistic too, now that we think about it. And then the other one I thought was really unrealistic was actually just that challenge trade of Nicholson and Mahinmi for Noah.
That's where I was going to go. That's just, yeah. it's a trade that makes sense, but it's a trade that neither team would make.
Yeah, teams just don't make trades like that. They don't trade kind of like for like and just hope that. And also, KP said that he thought Noah might actually help this year. And I'm not sure, like, I don't know that he even does, frankly. But then you get off some money.
When we talked about that trade, I think that was in the first episode of this, right? It was probably less clear about Mahinmi coming back this year and what his prognosis was. So I like the logic for the Wizards more then than I do today.
Although, weirdly, I was more optimistic about Mahinmi's chances of coming back than everyone else. But... I mean, yeah, as everyone has said, that's one of those ones that's like a fascinating one to talk about and the teams would never, ever do.
Yeah, I think that's right, which, you know, and I think just part of the reason for that is just Noah signed there. Is it really that much of an upgrade to just kind of take a flyer and hope it works out for this guy who signed there? You lose a little bit of equity if Phil Jackson could lose any more equity with free agents than he already has at this point. Yeah, anything else you guys wanted to say here before we go? I guess we're not going to have time to make fun of each other. Maybe we can do that at like over the summer or something when we're all bored.
Do we
make fun of each other for the bad trades that we did last year?
I think I have a point that we should discuss. What team do we think got the made the biggest difference, like for their present, and what team made the biggest difference for their future?
Those are good questions.
Well, I mean, it probably Nuggets has to be Denver, yeah, for the current.
Yeah, I mean, they got Goran Dragic to play point guard and didn't give up any draft picks, and they've got Paul Mills. I mean, they picked up two players who are probably top 50 players in the league.
I played a game with that roster today. It's ridiculous.
Well, maybe related, which team do we think helped its chances of winning the championship the most
this year, you mean?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know that the Clippers really got that much better because they had to give up Redick and that Carmelo deal.
Yeah, but Warriors didn't make a trade. Cavs didn't do anything of significance. Spurs didn't make a trade.
Raptors?
Oh, the Raptors. That's probably the answer.
Yeah, just getting Ibaka. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's probably got to be it. But that is a good point here that a lot of deck chairs got shuffled. And I mean, it's really much more about the future than it is who's going to win this year other than Denver. I mean, they're going to just lose probably in round one to the Warriors anyway. That would be an epic series, though.
Or more modest goals. I think the Hornets got better for this year with more modest goals in mind. The Celtics got better for this year. Pistons got better for this year.
Yeah, you know, you could make the argument that Taj Gibson helps Boston more than Serge Ibaka helps Toronto.
Yeah, you certainly could. Yeah. I think as far as future, the team that jumps out to me that I like what they did for their future the most is probably Miami, to get a couple of young prospects for, other than Dragic, basically no one who is helping them going forward.
And they're going to make their draft pick a lot worse this year too, which is going to help, because they're screwing that up. I mean, they're going to have big time trouble with shooting now. I mean, because they're Moutier, Justice Winslow, like those two guys as part of the core. But I think getting a guy who's the number seven pick in the draft and he's disappointed slightly, but as you always harp on, KP, point guards develop so late that I don't think it's anywhere near time to give up on Moutier yet. But it was with Jamal Murray behind him and then getting Dragic in, it seemed like that made sense for the Nuggets still. All right, we down here?
Timberwolves here.
You got to hit us with we are not going to trade Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
So maybe I can share this now, but definitely my intention from the moment I was assigned the Timberwolves was to bring up Ricky Rubio all the time. And it didn't matter what you guys offered. There was no way we were making this trade. we're going to just talk and talk and talk about it, and it was not going to happen.
All right. Well, I will be looking forward to reconvening this group for the mock-off season in June. But this is a great pleasure, as always. Thanks so much for coming on, guys. And we'll be back tomorrow. Probably have a special guest in mind then. But thanks so much for listening to these mock trade deadlines. They're always a lot of fun. Talk to you all next time.